Hey, tell me your name.
David Reger.
What is your age?
63.
What year did you graduate from high school?
74.
Where do you currently live?
Sitka. My house.
When did your family come to Clark County?
51.
Okay. Why did they come to Clark County?
Grandpa died.
Okay, when did he come?
Yeah, right. 1909.
Mm-hmm. Where did they settle?
Up Sitka. On North Place, wasn't it?
No. They settled in Sitka.
Oh, okay.
Fred bought the Sitka house.
Yeah, knew that.
The Sun Greens.
When it come from the,
yeah,
from the deal.
From the basin.
Did you know he farmed out there?
Yes. He worked for the Smiths.
Oh,
according
to, yeah,
to Bessie. He bought the North Place later. And the Sundgrens lived up on where the Coverdale Place was before they moved to Coldwater.
Okay.
So, was there any school on the property?
No.
It was across the road.
Yeah.
Yeah. How close was the nearest school?
That I went to or the...
No, that was there. There was one in Sitka, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
It'd been within a quarter.
Okay. What was your family's occupation? Were they rancher, farmer, cowhand?
I would say farmer.
Okay. How did your grandpa acquire his land?
Yeah. Paid for it, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Describe the land. Is it that he had? Was it pasture? Was it farm land?
I think it was all farm ground, or mostly farm ground. There was, well, there was the, be southeast part of the 280. There'd be an 80 over there that was probably all grass. I think everything else was farm ground.
Like the pasture just east of the house that went under the bridge?
Yeah.
That pasture?
Yeah.
And what about the pasture just south of the house that was over by the highway? Was that farm?
I would say that was farm ground.
Okay. And the stuff on the Sitka corner?
Yeah.
Okay, so what type of land was it? What was it? Good grassland? Was it good farm ground? Was it sandy? Did it?
It wasn't sandy. I wouldn't call it good farm ground. Part of it was. You know, part of it was subirrigated, so part of it was decent.
Were there any rivers?
A couple of creeks.
Okay.
It's running water now.
The Day Creek?
No, the creek that runs
north?
Through the... No, the creek that runs through the house, sir, under the bridge.
That's Day Creek.
No, that's not Day Creek.
What is it?
It's a 6 mile something or other. I don't know if it has a name.
What about up north? Is the dam full? Or is there
no.
still a dam?
There's three dams up there, four dams up there, but no water in any of them.
Yeah. So what type of crops did they grow?
Mostly wheat. At one time, back in the 40s, 50s, they did corn. But the drought hit.
So then what?
Well, they went to Milo, and then finally it just went straight to wheat because the Milo couldn't survive in the summer here.
Yeah. So when did they plant alfalfa on that one field?
68, 69.
Are you sure?
Yep.
I bet it was earlier because the girls were still home, and they were hauling hay. And they left in 66 and 67.
When did Robert go to service?
67. Into 66, 67. He graduated from high school in 65.
I think they put it in the year he graduated.
Okay. How many cuttings could they get off the alfalfa?
Normal year, four. Sometimes if it's real wet, they'd get five. towards the end when it was getting the when the drought was coming in, you'd get three guaranteed.
So how'd they cut it? Do you remember
they
using...
They used a sickle mower to start with, laid it on the ground, and then raked it. And then we got the self-propelled swathers when we started swathing.
And then how'd they bale it?
With a...
It was a pull?
Well, it was a Ford, yeah, that went behind the tractor. It had its own motor because we didn't have a tractor that... would pull a baler. We went with PTO that would pull a baler.
So would they use a little Ford tractor?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So how did they gather the hay out of the field, the alfalfa?
By hand.
What'd they use?
A four-wheel trailer.
How did they get that trailer? I think I remember him.
Well, he bought the drive gears, the pull gears.
Yeah.
And then would put a bed on it.
Put wooden bed on it.
Yeah.
Because I can remember helping screw the nuts in to hold the bed down.
Yeah.
So how many bales could you, these are small bales, right?
Yes, small squares.
How many pounds?
Depending on who baled them, the alfalfas were probably 65 to 85.
Okay, and how many could you get on a trailer?
That trailer, you could get 80.
And that was all stacked by hand?
Yeah, threw up, walked along and threw up by hand.
Okay, so when did you graduate to the self-propelled hauler?
My junior year. We hauled my freshman.
I thought you were in 8th grade, 7th grade.
No, we had a truck at that point.
Oh. When did you start your hay hauling crew?
7th grade. You know, yeah, but no, we didn't get this.
69
probably.
Or
I had to hire a driver to drive at night because I wasn't old enough to drive. I wasn't 16. So I bought that when I was 15.
So you would have been a freshman?
Summer of, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how big was your hay hauling crew?
That one took 2 to 3 people. The self-propelled took 2 to 3 people.
I worked with
Randy Mings. And at that point, we had 11 kids working for us.
How many trailers were you doing?
We did 3 bobtail trucks, our do-easy wagon, and then LV Mings made one, made a homemade.
Do-ease?
Well, it wasn't a do-ease, but yeah.
A self-propel?
Yeah.
Or a...
Mm-hmm. Took a truck, took a bed cab off of it.
So how did this work, the self-propelled?
Well.
But I mean, how was it different? You didn't have to handle the bales, right, till they got up on the...
Oh, you didn't have to throw them up. It had a reversible hydraulic, and you just drove along. It would turn them over so they were flat, bring them up the nose.
Yeah.
It would bring them right to you. You just picked them up off the track and stacked them on the bed, 4 to 5 high.
And then when you took them to the place where you were stacking them for the farmer or whoever.
Right, you just reversed the hydraulics
and it took them right
back off. Yeah.
So when you were hauling hay, how much did you get per bale?
As a hand or as a...
Well, yeah, what'd you have to pay your people?
2 to 3 cents a bale.
What'd the driver get?
Depends on how good looking she was.
Was it always a girl?
No. No. We usually rotated off. I had Cynthia Seaborn and Gwen Cryer driving. They were the only two girls that I had driving. And both of them unloaded. So they got a cent, penny bale.
OK. Okay. How much did you charge altogether for a bale?
When we just had the trucks, we started at 12 cents. When we bought this, we went to 15. When we finished, however many years later, I quit hauling because I thought they couldn't afford it. And I was at 30 cents, but gas at that point was going through the roof. I mean, it was almost $2.
Were you a senior?
I was out of school.
Oh, so was that?
Yeah, I had come back in, I might have been married.
So when you use that, could you make a pretty good income off of hauling hay?
My help, we'd haul 1,000 bale a day. My help was making $20 a day. You couldn't do that in town. You know, most of the places that a high school kid could work was paying $1.60, two and a dime maybe, for an 8-hour day. So you're looking at $16 a day.
So how many farmers did you haul hay for? And did you have a regular route that you went in?
I had a regular alfalfa crew. I followed my dad and I followed Alvy Mings.
So what did your dad and Alvy do?
They were custom hayers.
And what part did they do?
Swathed and bale.
They swathed it.
They swathed and then they baled it.
And then you came along and...
we came along and stacked it.
And picked up the bales?
Yep.
Did you have to stack in barns sometimes?
We had, yes. It was always best to stack at this side of the field. If we had to, we charged anything over like 3 mile. I mean, if we had to haul it.
You had to haul it?
If we had to haul it more than 3 mile, we charged mileage.
Yeah.
If it went into the barn, it was an automatic nickel. Nicola Bailmore.
Mm-hmm. So did you have to feed your crew?
Oh, yeah.
How'd you do that?
Out of my pocket.
Did you have help cooking meals for them?
Well, if we were home. But
how often were you home?
Weekly. Every other week, maybe.
I just remember cooking lots of meals for the hay hauling crew.
Yeah, but we were only there when our hay was on the ground.
Yeah.
And 20 acres never took very long, you know, a day.
Because it was just that field
east
of the house.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when you stacked into a big stack, how many bales were usually in each stack?
Depended on the farmer.
So what was average?
1,000, 1,500.
So did you ever drive the swather or the baler?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when Daddy got sick, I run both of them.
Okay, so the swather, how was it different than like a tractor? Didn't have
it had joysticks.
And how did the joysticks work?
Like a dozer.
Okay, so explain.
You push it, the two sticks... the further forward you pushed them, the faster it'd go. You pulled them back to slow it down, to stop it, to back it up. The case was a double stick, just like a dozer. You could push this one forward. You could push your left hand forward and make the left wheels go forward. Pull your right hand back and make the right wheels back up.
So like you could turn it around.
Yeah, you didn't get it stuck like you did the...
How did you do the deck?
Foot pedals, up and down with foot pedal.
Foot pedal, and the brake was a foot pedal?
Yeah, the brakes were on your... You didn't have brakes. You had...
They're on your joysticks?
Yeah, they were on the joysticks.
Okay, and was that the way... Was it the New Holland?
Except the New Holland only had a single stick. And
I remember that.
You turn it left and the right... Or you turn it to where you're turning left, the left wheel would quit moving.
Yeah.
So you could stick it quick.
So what about the baler? Did it have
a regular? The baler was a regular. It was self-propelled. they had just moved a four-cylinder motor, give or take, onto the baler to, you know, like a regular, like a little tractor.
It's pretty heavy, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So what about the swather? How did Daddy move the swather?
He built a trailer to move the case. You run the drive wheels up on the trailer, then you pin the crazy wheel on the back so it didn't do stupid things behind you.
Mm-hmm. And then he could pull that behind his pickup and go wherever. Mm-hmm. But he had to road the baler, right?
Yeah.
So
the baler'd run 40 mile an hour.
So how far did he go to custom swath and bale for people?
I think he stayed pretty much in the county.
In the east part of the county or all over?
I don't think he went to Mineola, but we were as far north as a Lexington, the Buckland type community, all the way down, some into Comanche County, mostly down on the, you know, down across here over to Acres.
Yeah, on the south part of the county.
Yeah, because there's not much. You get north of town, there's just not a whole lot.
So do you remember what he charged for swathing and how much for baling?
Baling, I think, was quarter of bale. I won't swear to that, but I think that's what it was. At 20 cents and a quarter.
And was
swathing was $6-$8 an acre.
It varied from what type?
Well, yeah, what type of stuff it was.
Did he do, like, wheat straw?
Yeah.
He baled that?
Yeah. Wheat straw, feed, alfalfa grass.
Oh, yeah. So do you ever have anybody work for him besides you? Does somebody else drive the baler?
I don't think somebody else drove the baler.
Somebody else do the swather? I don't think he did let anybody do the baler.
Yeah. I think either Mel or Vic Brown swathed for him, so.
Yeah. So after the early 70s, then, because he wasn't swathing and baling anymore, did you just stop the whole thing? Or how did you get out of haying?
After Daddy died, I took the swather and baler and went ahead, because I come back to the home place, and was running them. And the Heston swather was probably 7-8 years old. It needed replaced. The baler needed replaced too, but you know, you can fix on it just a little. I went up to Buckland where we bought the Heston at that time, and to see what it cost me to swap it out. Daddy give $6,000 or $7,000 for that Heston swather new. Mm-hmm. They were going to give me just about that. Wore out. But they wanted $28,000 for a new one. I could, there's no way. And I still, and that's when we got out of it, because at that point, I couldn't charge these people that.
So how many swathers did Daddy have?
Just the two.
The two?
Yeah. Yeah, because he kept everything seven years, or tried.
But was the baler New Holland?
Yeah.
And then the swathers
Daddy bought
were...
Daddy bought the New Holland self-propelled baler, was the first one in southwest Kansas.
Where do you have to go to get it?
I don't know. They brought it out on a truck, and the dealer from Buckland came down, and they brought a couple of mechanics or whatever. It was over on Jim Cox, and they tried to slug it. They tried to...
And they couldn't?
They couldn't do it. Yep. That was a single windrow alfalfa, and we had the old pull-type baler that they loaded on the truck. Then they took that self-propelled baler and tried to.
And it didn't.
Couldn't get it done.
So what about the hay loader? Did you have to road it home? Where'd you go
I drove it? I drove it from Harper. Too easy. It was made in Harper, Kansas. And we went over there and got it and drove it home. Run 60, 65 mile an hour.
So, and when you went to different farmers, you had to road it, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what, you had a pickup or two pickups that you took for your crew?
I had a pickup. I had that old 67.
Chevy?
Yeah.
And then the rest of the kids showed up? So what age?
No, we hauled all our crew with us.
So what were the ages of the kids that worked for you? You had to have somebody that's old enough to drive.
Yeah, I had to hire drivers.
They had to be at least 16.
They had to be 16 to drive in the dark.
But this had lights on it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it didn't have to be. It didn't have to for that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, because it wasn't.
It didn't have tag
on it. But you had to have a pickup.
Yeah.
Driver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. And we hauled all over Kansas and Oklahoma, the Panhandle.
Especially when you went down to Englewood and worked for Alvey.
Yeah, but Doc Hudson in Buffalo, we used to have to fill his barn with prairie hay and alfalfa.
So when did you start working in the summer? You start like in May and go till?
March, April, end of April, when they start laying down the weed hay. And go through... Usually we went plumb into November, into basketball season.
So how'd you do that? Get it on weekends?
No. When we got done, we had people that didn't play ball. So when school got out, they would go out and load the trucks. So we could load four bobtails in the two hay wagons. Yeah, our hay wagon. Alvey's didn't run enough. I mean, it had problems keeping running during in the dark.
So how many hay bales could you put on the self loader?
We did. You could put as many as you wanted. You could put up to 300, but normally we put 220 to 250. Tried to do 200 that way.
So you're stacking it four high, three high.
Well, four high is 200.
Okay.
You'd go three high. At three bale across, and then the fourth one would be a tie row. It'd be one in the middle and then two on the sides to make five to tie it together so it didn't fall off.
Yeah. Did you ever lose a load?
Not off of that.
Off the truck?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Did you blow a lot of tires?
No. I don't remember ever blowing a tire.
You ran out of gas?
A lot. Yeah. Yeah.
On the hay haulers or on the trucks or both?
Both. Usually on the trucks. This thing had like a 37-gallon tank. And we never worked it hard enough to run it out of gas if you filled it every morning.
Yeah.
And gas was like 12 cents. Yeah. You know, you could buy farm gas at that point. Regular gas was like 27 or some such, but...
It wasn't very high at that time. Yeah. So, okay, so besides doing hay,
mm-hmm.
you also raise cattle,
mm-hmm.
right? What type of cattle did we have?
We started out with a registered Hereford herd, or a semi-registered herd.
Was it from Grandpa?
I don't know that.
I think Grandma and Daddy were in business together.
They were. Grandma had either 5 or 10 head of cows. But with the 800 acres we had, talking to Robert,
We had how many acres?
800.
Oh, yeah. Between the north place and the home place.
Yep. Probably never had more than 60 head of cows.
Dude. Was it all like a cow-calf operation?
It was to start with. Back in the 50s and early 60s, all the neighbors around us, you know, had a half section or a section of ground. Everybody had a small cow herd. So we all neighbored together. Sometime in the early 60s, we bought a calf cradle. So they would load that up and take it around to each person's house. And Daddy would saddle horses. We didn't have a trailer at the time. So he'd saddle horses and throw me up on a horse, and I would ride to the whatever neighborhood we were working for.
So like McMenemy's?
Yeah.
Wilson's?
Yeah. Domi's.
Domi's.
Randall's. Charlie.
Oh, yeah.
Skinny White?
Yeah. He have cattle? Or did he just do sheep?
He had a couple old cows. They might have been milk cows.
And then, and Ritter's did sheep, right? They didn't do a whole lot of, well, but
well, they had some
had
cows,
some cows but not that
mostly
many.
Mostly they were sheep, yeah.
Yeah. So this calf sheep ended up at our house a lot, right?
We might have been the last place to, you know, to do.
And we had a way that they could load cattle out, right?
Yeah.
The end of the corrals.
But most everybody did.
So when did we get the horse trailer?
Was
it a conglomerate thing?
Daddy went into partnership with Dan Daly in the late 60s. And that's when we got out of the cow business. Out of the cow calf business. And we started doing heifers.
Because breeding heifers?
Breeding heifers. And they would breed them and... if the market wasn't right, they'd keep them out. If the calf market wasn't right, they'd keep them and sell the calves off of them. But they were always buying heifers every year to replace. And they got into the Ponderosa, and I don't know what year that was.
I think 1969. I don't know why I think that, but I think it was the Cimarron Grazing Association.
Yeah.
And... Kenny Domi was back from the service, so he was part of it too, I think.
Could have been. I mean, and, Dad was.
And Dan was.
Well, see, but Daddy and Dan got in as a partner.
So as they one only got, partner.
As one person, yeah.
Yeah. Which, and there was that Webb.
Mm-hmm.
And.
Jim Beisel.
Yeah, Jim Beisel. And.
There Bill, was 12 of them.
And Bill Anderson was in it.
Yeah.
Or several people at the time. And they could run however many cattle or whatever their partner, what each person was allotted to run over there.
Yeah, but the government set however many you could run.
Run.
Yeah.
Because it was all grassland, right, that they purchased. Did they bought the land from Theus?
No.
Who'd they buy it from?
The government took it.
Oh.
As a, I don't know, a tax something maybe, but they split it amongst 12 small farmers, and they had to have, there were certain criteria. They couldn't have a hired man. They couldn't do this. They had, you know, so.
They each had to work over there.
Yeah.
Couldn't have somebody else do it for
them. No, we had to farm it, or not farm it, you had to fence it.
Yes.
The first year or two, we run 600 head of steers on the north pasture, everybody together.
How many pastures?
Well, at that time there was only two. You know, there's a headquarters down at the bottom that had a trap that was probably half section, maybe.
So how many acres did they get altogether? I was thinking it was...
a lot, because everybody got a section and section and a half, so...
It's in the thousands.
Yeah.
So how many pastures did they make it out into?
12.
Oh, so each one had their own pasture?
Yeah. Yeah, they split it 12 ways. And I think Jim Beisel ended up with all of it, but...
I think so, too.
I know Kenny Domi had a bunch till he swapped with somebody further.
Something closer?
Yeah.
Because that's clear over by west of Englewood, right? Yeah. Is it in Meade County?
Part of it.
Yeah, I think so. So we started out doing registered Herefords. When did we go to registered Angus?
We actually never did. The children. Robert, the older. Louise and Carol. Their 4-H projects were breeding heifers, and they got those from Bears, I think.
I think so, too.
To get the registered deals. So we ended up, I think, 8 or 9 registered black cows.
I can remember black baldies.
Well, see, the black baldies were when Dan and Daddy were doing the heifers, we put Hereford calves or Hereford heifers with black bulls to give us some black baldies.
So who owned the bulls?
I have no
Daddy
idea.
Daddy and Dan owned them? Dan? I don't know either.
I don't have any idea.
Yeah. So we ran them. Okay, so we had a pasture that's 4 miles north of Sitka. Yeah, kind of.
Well, it's 3 miles from the house, but it's 2 miles north of Sitka.
Okay. But we moved cattle up there every spring.
Twice a year, yeah.
So how'd you move them?
You opened the gates and drove them horseback because we had no trailers.
How many horses?
Well, you could do it with 2.
And a pickup.
Could you put a pickup out there to
pickup in
block
front.
The highway?
But did you put a pickup in front of it too?
Only if we had the personnel. You know, I always thought I was doing something when I was a little kid helping Daddy do that. Until one year I went to school and coming home and the horse that I was riding had my saddle on it and the reins tied to the saddle horn and she was doing everything I was doing on back by herself. You know,
which Starlight. Horse were you on?
Starlight.
Starlight. Yeah. I can remember stopping traffic on the west because people coming over the Sitka Hill couldn't see what we were doing.
Yeah.
But usually the cows or whatever went.
Well, we had to throw dirt across the highway because if they had just sealed it where it was hot,
they wouldn't go across.
They wouldn't cross it because it looked like shimmering water.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't cross that hole.
So it was just a straight shot into the pasture, right? When you got up there.
Yeah, but when you went up north.
When you brought them home.
You had to turn them at the.
We had to turn them to come into the corrals that were up at the house. Do you remember when they built the corrals? Put up the wood corrals instead of the barbed wire?
No. They were there before I was born.
No, they weren't. I remember them.
I don't.
I remember. I don't remember when they built them, but I remember the barbed wire fence.
Huh. No, I don't.
Because I know you and Roger used to.
Well, you used to walk the tops.
Tops of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what were you? 10? I can remember us building those corrals. Because I remember the Ford tractor sitting out there with the post hole digger on it.
Mm-hmm.
But they were big ties.
Yeah.
Too. So besides cattle, and you mentioned horses, how many horses did we usually have?
We usually have 6. I mean, when we was growing up, there were 6.
Starlight and...
Goldie.
Goldie. Buck. And Buck. Molly.
Socks. They had a Nugget. Had a Rex.
Yeah. Oh, Rex was
Rex was a Shetland.
Yeah, that's 7.
Then we had Starlight had 4 Palomino colts. I don't ever remember. We had Sandy. Sandy was the horse that broke her leg over. She came from Bears, I think.
Molly came from Bears.
Yeah.
Sandy was one of the Goldie's
colts.
Yeah. But she ran into something or something.
Broke a leg or twisted a leg.
Didn't know what they did. She'd limp. If she got tired when somebody was riding her.
Yeah, she'd fall down if you could.
Yeah.
and
Rex. Where'd we get Rex?
We bought him from a traveling horse sale. Horseman.
And if he didn't want you on his back, he'd sidestep and you'd be on the in the dirt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So did we ever have a milk cow that you remember?
Yes. Yep, that's what happened to Daddy's. Or the reason we don't have a milk cow.
Oh.
Buck was Starlight's colt. And he was probably a month old.
Uh-huh.
And Daddy was caking over there on the, just past the silo.
Uh-huh.
Out there in the grass trap.
Yeah.
And he walked out across there with a bucket and strung cake out across the ground. Buck was bouncing and doing his thing over there. Went running by, and the damn old milk cow had the Jersey
big horns.
And, well, they weren't big. They just kind of tipped around. And she stuck a horn through his chest.
Come out, I thought it was the back one. No, it was
right
the front
there,
one.
Right there. And come out the other side.
Yeah.
And we didn't have a horse. We didn't have a cow.
I was thinking she got blood poisoning, but she may have gotten
lead poisoning?
Lead poisoning, yeah.
No, she actually went to town because she was a good milk cow.
Yes. Yeah, I remember that, didn't it? So what other livestock?
We had a couple of goats once.
Yep. Why didn't we keep them very long?
They got on Mother's brand new car.
Yep. So what about poultry?
We had chickens, geese, ducks, guineas. We'd never had a peacock.
We didn't. How come we had guineas?
Because they were very good at eating the stickers.
And they were good watchdogs.
Yeah, they tell everybody that
something was going on.
Yep.
Okay, so we raised chickens. Our mother raised a lot of chickens.
Mm-hmm.
How did she raise a lot of chickens?
In a broiler house.
Okay, so
Daddy built the crates.
They're batteries.
Batteries.
They call them batteries.
Yeah.
So explain that.
The chicken batteries, and I believe there was 10 of them.
Yeah, there's a lot.
There were 10 or 12 out there. Each one
had three levels?
Four.
Four?
Four.
How big were they?
They were probably
4 foot?
No,
three foot
maybe.
By 6 foot?
Yeah, probably.
Because they had two of those deals on the sides of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Of the feeder troughs.
Yeah.
And the water troughs were the ones on the
ends. On
the
ends.
And there were four. And then...
They'd hold 100 head of chickens. They'd come in and you'd put them on the third shelf. And as soon as...
Warmer.
Well, that's where the heat racks were.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where they hung the heat racks.
Mm-hmm.
But that was high enough that a mother could walk in and it was eye level.
Yes.
So she'd pick the deads out and whatever happened that went along. But when they feathered, they were split 24 to a rack. And once a week, we'd have to go out and clean the damn...
under deals where the
chicken
manure bread came up.
Mm-hmm.
They're like a panel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, and
put fresh newspaper down so it would come off.
Yep. And sometimes it didn't.
Yeah, you have to scrape it.
Yep. So, Daddy built these?
Mm-hmm.
What? How? And he was a welder?
Yeah. That was his job for... When he first come over to this country, there wasn't enough. We didn't have any cattle at that point. I don't think we had any cattle at that point. Might have. Whatever grandma had. But needed a way to make a living because it, you know, hadn't started farming yet. I mean, it had to wait for a crop. He went to work for Reed.
George Jr.
Probably. In the oil field.
Yeah.
And I'd call it a roustabout outfit.
He went Kenny Miller. Wasn't it Kenny Miller? Guy that had a shop down there by like where...
Meschler's?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they went and did oil wells? Or...
Well, they do anything, but that's what they...
Pipeline?
Yeah. Well, I don't think it was pipeline. I think it was drilling rigs.
Yeah.
That type of stuff. You know.
So we had all these chickens. Did we just graze them for us? Or
we had a contract with the, I don't know if it's a contract, but weekly we would take 100 more.
I don't know.
We'd go through 3 sets of chickens a year. Get chickens in 3 times a year. So we'd start in April?
No, the first ones came in May, Memorial Week, because Landon Haydock was the postmaster, and he would call and tell us the chickens were there, and we'd have to go in because they were closed.
Yeah. Okay. So every 30 days, May, June, July, August, September, we got out of there before it got cold. Cold, because we had heaters in there, but...
They're mainly to keep the little chicks.
Well, the broiler heaters kept the chicks warm. But there was 2 propane heater deals in the wall.
Oh, I didn't remember that.
Well, the pipes are still there.
Oh, yeah.
And there was water in there.
Yeah. And so who'd she have the contract? I mean, who'd she sell them to?
There was a place in Dodge.
I think she sold them to a restaurant.
Oh, no. There was a butcher place in Dodge that we'd take them to.
Live chickens.
Live chickens.
Because they'd put one of those batteries in the back of the pickup.
I
remember that. And kind of like you put the sides on to haul cattle in the back of the pickup. But it was put one of those batteries in there and load it full of chickens and take them up there. And it was off... 14th, and it was right there beside the bridge.
Well, it's where the racetrack is now.
Yeah, but, you go back in there.
Flooded. Yeah. Whatever year the flood came through there.
65.
That's when we quit the chickens.
And I remember Mrs. Williams came out and showed Mother how to cut them restaurant style.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, with the quarters and stuff. But so in the summertime when we weren't selling them, we were... giving them, keeping them for us to eat, how big did they have to be, and how did we figure out they were that big? Do you remember how we weighed them?
We had a scale that hung up there, and you stick the damn...
It was a cone.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how big did they have to be?
3 pound. That's it?
I think so. 3 or 5.
Yeah.
Can't remember.
That's maybe 5.
Yeah, maybe 5 pound. Not sure. Yeah. So, when we stayed home this summer and the older girls were still there, they had to kill so many chickens a day.
A day? I thought we did it on Saturday.
No, they did it every day when Mom went to work.
Well, I know we ate chicken every day.
When did the turkey show up?
Carol had a 4-H project.
Yes.
But I don't know what year it was. Everything's Carol.
We had a whole bunch of turkeys. There was quite a flock.
10 maybe? 12?
I bet it's more than that because they'd go down to the port of entry.
Oh, yeah?
There's probably 20 of them. Yeah. Because Mr. O'Blinnis would call and say the turkeys were down there, and he'd have to go down and herd the turkeys back. Yeah.
Huh. I don't remember that.
Yeah. So, any other animals? Dogs.
Well, the dogs always came through, though.
Yep.
You know, people would dump dogs in Chitkin. They'd come up and...
Then they'd go back down to the elevator and get in the rat poisoning.
Well, some of them.
Yeah. All done. Well, let's see. Talked about cattle. Oh, like, they had that chute so they could brand, right, and do all that. Did you ever do any of the actually rope and brand them out on the ground back then?
Not for our family, no.
But you did that later for people.
We'll come back.
Your kids get pretty good at helping.
Yeah.
What'd they do?
Flanked. Now, Kayla cut. Tricia, JD, pretty much flanked.
When you worked for other people, how many cattle were you doing? Were they mostly, they were baby calves that you were branding? And
yeah. Yeah. Anything that you rope and drug with was usually babies.
So about how many head?
Buster's deal was usually 200-300 head. You do that a couple hours. With about, a good crew.
Yeah.
You know.
How many people were usually there?
Well, when I first started doing stupid things, everything was done horseback. You know, so you'd go out and would, usually when you gathered, you'd have to have a crew, 12 to 18 riders to cover the ground, you know, because they're, most of the stuff that I worked for is big pastures. Sections or bedders.
Yeah.
Anymore, it's not so much. I mean, you can, there's not as many people that have stock anymore, and finding people that want to give up their time and still ride. I mean, to do what we used to do, you needed horses that were being used.
Daily?
Well, at least weekly. You know, they had to be legged up to where they could go do this.
Yeah. So who did you work for? I mean, who did you go round up cattle and brand and that stuff for? Did you have several people?
I did. I was day working when I came back. You know, so we'd go down. We went down to the Tuttle Ranch. We did. Dentons, Criers.
Yeah, Criers.
Barbies. Barbies is a week. It, you know, you'd start here and end up in Gate at the end. But at that time, we had five or six pastures in Meade County that we went over to. Criers is three different ranches, you know, strung all over the county. Stevens Ranch. Jess Waits was up there at that time, in the Lexington area.
Like you're talking Jack Stevens?
Yeah.
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 So beside, like, day working, did you also work in feed yards?
Yeah, I spent, 4 years horseback in a feedlot.
Did you have to, did you do, like, medicine?
The first feedlot I went to, we had to do everything. It was AID feeders in Kinsley.
Oh, yeah.
And you had to do everything. I mean, you processed, you doctored, you rode pens, you put go-bags up, you did whatever. Left there and went to Canadian feeders in Canadian, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Started out riding pens and ended up on the doctor crew. Didn't have to process down there, but we had to doctor.
Is this in the 70s?
Yeah. And quit that and come home, got married.
And then what'd you do?
Nothing for 30 days. I finally got a job at the feed yard out at Garden City. Master feeders.
Yeah.
And found a job that was exactly what I wanted. You saddled a horse at 5:30 in the morning and you unsaddled a third horse long about dark in the evening and you spent all day horseback.
Did they provide the horses?
Some.
Or did you have to have your own horse?
They provided three head and let you bring two in. We were so short-handed through most of the time I was out there. I had seven company horses in my string. I took two of my own out there for a while. Didn't have enough horse flesh.
Yeah. Had to use theirs.
Yeah. Well, no, I had to. I've, had to use mine because I ran out of horse flesh.
Yeah.
We went through the scabies scare out there, had to dip a 57,000 head yard in 3 days, and then turn around and do it again.
So how'd you find out they had scabies?
Oh, you can tell.
So what'd you dip them in? I mean, how...
They had a an old-time drive them off in a dip vat. It was like going off in a deep end of a swimming pool and let them swim to the other side and come up, but it was only 3 foot wide. It was narrow enough they couldn't turn around, but wide enough that you could run a fat through it and not have a, you know, not good sticky. But we got the original, you know, and while you're doing this, you got to do your regular work too.
Right.
So they had to hire a crew to come in and dip.
Yeah.
And I think she's out the front.
So, then you were still having to do
the regular day to day riding pens. Maggie, come here, Maggie. Sit, lay down. Lay down. You had to do your regular day's work anyway. My section of that feed yard was 5,000 head. That I rode every day by myself.
Yeah.
Most of the sections, I had the south section, which was the smallest, I guess. The least amount of pens, had the same amount of cows. Most of the pens in a feed yard are anything from truckload, 50 head, up to couple hundred. My south side, I had four pens that were normal sized pens that were 100 head pens. And then my next three alleys, the smallest pen was 270. And then it went up to one that was about the size of a football field. Mm. And I think there were 300 or 400 heads.
So it was mostly steers?
Or was it? No, it's steers and heifers. Yeah.
Heifers, yeah. Mm-hmm. So did you carry medicine with you?
No.
Did somebody else do that part?
Yeah, you just went in and rode your pens, pulled your six out, put them in an alley, and delivered them to a hospital.
And then the hospital took care of it?
Yeah, and the doctors took care of it.
Yeah. So did you work in any other feed yards? Were they basically pretty much the same? From
pretty
one
much,
to the other, just
pretty
the
much,
size.
But, yeah, but the bigger they are, the less you have to do. You know, I mean, once you get over 50,000, they hire you to ride pens. They hire you to sit a horseback.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you sort cattle, you sort cattle, you take them back, you pick them up.
And somebody else does the other stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. So, when did you work in a grain elevator?
I think I started there. Well, I started in high school. Worked for Wallingford for 3 or 4 years. It was my fallback to job. Anytime I quit something else, I came back to that. But in 81 maybe, fall of 81, right after the blizzard hit. I had a kid, I had a guy that was running the Bungie Corporation, and he was calling me pretty regular to go look at a job. And finally, one Friday evening, I come walking into the house and I was froze. I had ice. I couldn't get my leggings off because the zippers were froze to my legs. It was probably 7:30, 8 o'clock in the evening when I finally got home. And I lived on the yard at the time.
Yeah.
So, which is why I was still there. But
is that when you were at Sublette?
Yeah, I was back out at Masters again.
Okay.
And I took off and, you know, drove semi for a couple years or a year and a half in there, but came home and run the farm, then went back out there. And Steve Brown, who was a general manager or whatever up there, that deal, was calling me and kept offering me better incentives to go look at this job. And that was in Cunningham. And he finally put a price to it. And what he was offering for a 40-hour week in a climate-controlled office
was much better.
Was more than I was making, busting my butt out there many hours a day.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Did you have two kids then?
Yeah. I left my wife at out there at Sublette driving a grain truck with two children in.
No.
Yeah.
Was JD already born?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's got to be 80.
Yeah, it was 81, 82.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Because we always went back to the feedlot for childbirth.
Oh, yes.
Because Master's health insurance policy figured that pregnancy was an illness.
Ah.
And they covered it within 30 days. I mean, after 30 days. You were on the job 30 days. If you had the child after that, they'd pay for it. <You know? laughs>
So how long did you do elevators then? Where'd you went to Cunningham? Were you in Turon?
I lived in Turon and worked out of Cunningham. Then I think I was down there 2 years, and then I was 2 years in Roselle.
Yeah.
And then I went to Maxville for at least two harvests.
You were in Maxville when Kayla was born.
Yeah.
And that was 83.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't leave her till 85, I think. I bought the truck in 86.
Yeah. 85 is when you came down here.
Oh, I didn't come here till 87.
Okay. What kind of truck did you get?
The LA International.
Dump
asphalt
truck?
Asphalt truck, yeah, dump truck.
And where did you go working?
Oh, all over the state of Kansas.
For highways and stuff?
Yeah, we were laying asphalt. And then when that quit, we were in Salina and we hauled fill dirt out of the mall parking lot and we hauled dirt out of the mall parking lot and hauled fill sand back into the mall so they could build it. I got to drive my truck down the main hallway in the mall and spread sand down
the new mall.
Yeah, down the new mall. Well,
that's not very old. I mean,
that's 30 years old now. 40
like
years
that.
Old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when you came back to Clark County,
mm-hmm.
where'd you go to work?
Road and Bridge County.
And what'd you do there?
Whatever was needed. I was truck boss for a while. I was heavy equipment operators.
So then you went back to working with cattle?
I did that because I did that while I was working for the county, because the county was just a 40-hour job. And we started hanging around with the cowboys again,
mm-hmm.
and going out for nothing.
Yeah.
And went to work for Jim Harper. Paul Gemini was working for Harper.
Mm-hmm.
Went there, went to Buster Carter's.
That's when you started day working?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Finagled me a bronc and started paying for him.
Yeah.
That's when I broke the leg. I was working for Marvin Lips at that point.
Yeah, that kind of stopped you for a little bit.
They took my horse away from me.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
So you mentioned a blizzard.
Mm-hmm.
And do you remember any other disasters or any other storms, tornadoes, floods that affected Clark County when you were living here? Do you remember the blizzard of 71 when you were in high school?
Yeah.
Did you
help? And then 92 and
98. Well, let's start with the one in 71. Did you go help dig out pigs at Duval's?
No.
What did you do?
Not a whole lot of anything. I mean, we fed...
You were feeding our own cattle?
We fed our own cattle. We had to go find them. They were... when it finally cleared up, we couldn't find them.
Were they close to the house?
Yeah, they were in that in the 280 there at the house.
So that when it went under the bridge, were they clear on the other side of the
bridge?
No,
they were under the bridge. Oh. The snow had caked over the top of them.
It's a railroad bridge.
It's a railroad bridge.
Okay.
But it's down in a draw, you know, a creek through it. The snow had actually blew over the top of them and basically trapped them in the deal. But the body heat kept the ties thawed out, the hole through the deal.
Oh.
So the heat was, that's how we found them. The steam
the
rising through the bridge.
So they had air?
Yeah, they had air.
How long were they there?
I think the storm
was
blew for
Saturday.
A couple of days, didn't it? I mean, it was Sunday or Monday before we got out.
Yeah. Well, it was, we didn't go back to school till like Thursday or Friday.
No, we were out 2 weeks.
I didn't think we were two.
Mm-hmm. I walked to town.
Yeah, because that's the only, I mean.
Yeah, but I walked in and stopped at the elevator and picked up a gunny sack, went to the grocery store, ordered whatever we needed, and then I went to school. Hmm. I went up to high school to see what the hell was going on.
Okay. You know, were the helicopters there at the school?
No, but the hay was. Okay. I mean, there was probably, they bombed me when I was walking to school, or walking to town. I mean, they were trying to feed,
could have been Yorks?
No, it was probably
Dagnans?
Skinny Whites or
Brights.
Brights. Whoever had the cows there.
Brights had cows.
Yeah.
Stuff.
They missed. We had to go over and
hit
the bales up and throw them on the fence.
You know. Were they small bales?
Yeah, little squares.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they're throwing them out the side of the helicopter?
Out the back of a plane. Yeah.
Yep. So, you mentioned there are other snowstorms.
Mm-hmm. The one in 92.
Is that at Thanksgiving?
Yeah, that's the one that started Tuesday before Thanksgiving, and we fought snow. Oh, there was probably still snow in May.
There was a lot of snow that year.
It will every yeah. Yeah, we tore up every piece of equipment the county owned.
So you were working for the county there?
Yeah.
Where, did you have any cattle?
Not at that point.
Yeah.
I lived in the fam house at that point.
Oh yes, in town.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And so it was just trying to open up all the roads around the county.
I spent from the day before Thanksgiving. No, probably Thanksgiving Day. It we got out of town because it started on that Tuesday. I got to go rescue the state workers that had slid off the road out at the county line to the east. Phil Reed and I took his 140 blade. It was the only one with snowplow on it. And a one-ton winch truck. And we went out there and could not pull the blade out of the deal. So they had a blade out there and they had a truck out there. Both of them stuck. So we ended up loading those people into my pickup. And
how many were there?
Two. There were one in each. And we loaded them into the pickup, got turned around, and ended up having to put the cable from the dozer, or from the loader, or the blade, tied it onto the front of the pickup. And it's the only way I got back down.
Because it was that thick.
It was snowing that bad, yeah.
Yeah, I remember. Mm-hmm. So, and another one, another time?
98. And it was a spring storm.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't near as long, but it...
What were you doing then?
Well, same thing. I worked for the county.
County?
Yeah. Yep. I quit the county in 01. Started day working.
Do you remember any tornadoes?
The Greensburg. We went to Greensburg after that. We went.
Do you remember any in Clark County?
Yeah. Being fire chief for as long as I was, or being on the department, we were storm spotting for 30 years. There's been all kinds of tornadoes in this county. Most of them didn't do much damage, but the one that took out Greensburg started at Pikes over there. And
curbs?
Yeah, in that area.
Yeah.
It tore up that tree row right there. Went across the highway south of Eldora's, McMenemy's, between the York's and Eldora's. I went through Domies up through there. Slid around. We followed it through. It was this side of Stephen Kelly Hazen's. It jumped over the Stevens Ranch. It did a little damage up some trees and whatnot up there. It never touched a house in our county. It sat down in Comanche County and rolled a bunch of tank batteries and whatnot. And then it kind of went straight up 183, the highway. It went across to see where the Mennonite deal is there. Tore up a bunch of stuff there. And then went into Greensburg.
So was there another tornado that was over, like, by protection, that was doing tank batteries, and it started coming back towards you, and you couldn't get away because there were all these storm spotters?
Oh no, that was a little twister that
was like about in the same time.
Yeah, it was all within a year or so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we made the National Weather's storm spotters class video. Yeah. Oh,
that they do every year.
Yeah. Yep.
So what about floods?
We've worked a couple of those. Bluff Creek has flooded twice that I know of. I mean,
did it take out any houses or anything?
We had to evacuate some houses.
Is that the same time that Kellenberger's?
Yeah, that's the one I'm thinking of. Then there was a couple before that flooded the park.
That one flooded the park.
Yeah, but there was one before that where the shelter is now. Oh, it's still there.
Yeah, it's still there.
They had just put them concrete circle picnic tables
there.
This one came through and took those concrete picnic tables, and it put one of them in a tree. Oh, 15, 20 foot up in the air on down the creek. Yeah.
It wasn't really great.
Uh-huh.
Nope. So, let me see. So how has things changed since you were a small boy growing up in Sitka to now? There's not as many people, right?
Right.
What about, how has CPR affected the county? Grass.
CPR came into this country in the late 70s, early 80s.
No, I think it was the late 60s, early 70s.
No, that was a soil bank. That was in the 50s and 60s.
Yeah, but then that 70s, because we've had CPR since
30 years.
75.
Maybe 40 now.
No, but it's been almost 40.
But it didn't start till I was gone anyway. The first year that they put CPR in, CRP, in Clark County, they took 46,000 acres of farm ground out.
Right.
The farmers that were in their 60s and early 70s at that point thought this was the greatest thing that was going to happen, because it was actually going to give them a retirement.
Right.
If it would have been 10 years, it would have been fine. But at the end of 10 years, they put it in again. They redid it again. In its second 10 years, it broke every small town main street.
Yeah, we lost a lot of gas stations.
Yeah, but we lost two elevators, maybe three. The Englewood Co-op went away. Bungie went away. The Co-op went away. Wallingford, Walcott, and Lincoln, whatever, went away. It took out weights, homogenized gas, or whatever that. I mean, it took out a propane business.
It's still here, though.
Yeah,
not what
there's,
it was.
It's not what it was because there's no homes in the country.
That are propane. They're mostly electrical
there's,
now.
There's no homes in the country.
Yeah,
that's the deal. There's no homes in the country.
Especially since the fire.
The fire took care of all of the homes that didn't have anybody in them anyway.
Were empty.
Yeah. From the time I graduated high school till before the fire, I could probably pick 40 homesteads that are not there now within a 2.5-3 mile circle of home.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean that's all families that are, well, you know, yeah, they were all older people.
Some of their kids didn't come back.
Well, what was to come back for? They put it to grass.
Yep.
You know.
So, okay, beside the CRP, how is grass managed around here?
It's basically just grazed.
Yeah.
And the government won't let them do the CRP. They won't let them graze it.
What's their options?
Graze it, burn it.
Hay it. Yeah.
You can hay a third a year.
Right. Okay, so how about fencing? Has it changed since you were younger?
Yeah, but not a whole lot. You know, and everybody kind of, after the fire, they went to pipe corners, a lot of pipe corners. Some went to steel posts. You know, when I was little, high school, everything was wood.
How many strands?
Creosote. If you do an outside fence, it's 5. State of Kansas says you have to do 4. That was a 60s law.
Mm-hmm.
That may have changed, but everybody, all the old timers said you always do one more than it's required.
Uh-huh.
So outside fences were all 5 wire fence. Interior fences were usually the 4. A lot of the big ranches that I've worked for, their interior fences were 3. They were drift fences. But just to keep the cow from going from this area to that area.
What about electrical fences?
Most grass ranches won't use an electric fence except on a wheat field. They're too hard to maintain out across the sagebrush and the tumbleweeds and the what have you.
Yeah, because how do you charge them?
Either with 110 plug-in at the house or solar panels, or you change out a car battery every other day or every couple days.
So what about water? Windmills.
Mm-hmm.
What's more prevalent now? Solar panels or wind?
Owner's choice.
Mm-hmm.
I have both in most of my pastures because in August when the wind doesn't blow, usually the sun's shining.
Yeah.
In the fall, in the winter, when the skies are cloudy and the wind's usually blowing.
Yeah. So do you often have windmills fail or have to haul water?
That's usually an annual occurrence. Somewhere somebody's going to have to haul water.
Yeah. So, what about the next generation? Do you have any of your children that are interested in being involved in farming or ranching?
They are interested in it, but there is no way they can afford it.
So, are any of your kids involved in agriculture right now? What's your daughter do?
She's a meat inspector for the state of Kansas.
Yeah, so where does that take her? I mean,
All over western Kansas, but small packers.
well, those are the only ones that the state does, right? Did when we had a farm, did we have any hired hands?
Just
I can remember Warren Randall.
was that when Daddy was in the hospital with hives?
No, that Warren would have graduated in 1959 from high school. It was, I think it was when he was doing the hay, and because of that dog Jigs, it got its leg cut off, and they were out scything off the hay. And I think Warren was working then. But you don't remember anybody else except the guys that used to swath for him. Yeah, I'm old either.
They always had kids.
Oh yeah.
You know, I mean, Louise and
So.
Carol run the
So
swather, or
the
the not the
baler
they run
and
the rake and the sickle too, but
they hauled the hay when Robert was in Vietnam. What was your favorite job?
pen ride. I really like pen riding.
How has your a part in the community changed? Have you had a role in the community?
Oh, that was me.
Oh.
Such as, I was a 4-H leader for 10 years. I was on the fair board for 10, maybe 12.
Boy Scouts.
I was Boy Scout leader, assistant Boy Scout leader to get off the fair board for 10 years. I've been a volunteer firefighter for 30 plus years.
Were your first responder?
Well,
EMT?
as a firefighter, I was a first responder, EMT. I taught CPR. I taught first responder. I taught, you know, assisted with it.
Were you on the golf club? Were you an officer for the golf club?
Don't know if I was an officer. I don't think
I
I.
think you were because you had to do that tournament where you had to do the food. Wasn't that as vice president or something? So, what kind of things did you do as a fire chief? Were you on any boards?
The state executive board, the Southwest Homeland Security Board.
Were you able to bring anything into Clark County that we wouldn't have had if you hadn't have been on those boards?
Oh yeah,
Like what?
all of the emergency management grants that started coming was because I was on a committee that the people on it were talking about, have you got this filled out to you know, and they weren't talking to me. That was just a hospitality
As in
room.
a general thing.
Yeah, and I didn't know anything about it, so we asked questions, and I think we got $10,000 or $15,000 that first go. Because we were at a meeting that cost us, you know, $100 to go to.
Is that how you found out about the FEMA grants? And what has that helped bring to the community?
A bunch. As in two fire trucks, the breathing air, all of the bunker gear, two sets of bunker gear.
For sure. Fill station. So let me see. Oh, I wanted to go back and ask a question. When you were hauling hay, How did you protect your clothes? Didn't you wear shaps
mm-hmm.
or something?
Or hay shaps.
And how are they different from cattle shaps or cowboy?
Mine weren't.
Okay, but there at one point you had.
I bought hay shaps for my help.
What are they?
They are
look like?
They are the same thing that a horseshoer uses.
Knee length.
Yeah, just a little longer than the knee. And they're held on with a belt around your waist, and then a couple of straps that hold them to your leg. She's vacuuming.
I know. So how has ranching changed since you started? Do you use four-wheelers now?
We do now.
How often? Do you use horses as much as you use your four-wheeler?
No.
How do you use your four-wheeler?
I use a four-wheeler for what I used to use a horse for.
Like?
Checking cows, running pastures.
How many cows do you check now?
430 plus calves right at the moment. Now, tomorrow, that's going to change.
You're going to get more?
I'll get probably 700 pair. Or end up with 700 pair. And I don't know if I'll get my third ranch this spring or not. I haven't heard anything from them yet.
Yeah. So, do you have any farming? You don't raise cattle yourself, right?
No.
You have horses still?
I have horses. I have goats.
Cattle? I mean,
4-H? We have a 4-H animal.
Mm-hmm. Hey, do you have any farming as part of your operation?
I just put everything I own back to grass.
Hey, mainly to help feed your horses?
Mainly so I don't have to farm. Oh.
Okay, so what's the smartest thing you ever did?
Put that back to grass.
Overall?
Married my wife.
Okay, and what would you change if you could?
I don't know if I would.
What's the, besides riding pins, what mm-hmm. what other jobs did you like?
Those that hurt me.
Such as?
Well, the heavy equipment. I like driving truck for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got so sick of it that I don't care if I ever smell diesel smoke, you know. I've done pretty much what I wanted to. You know, if a job got to where the politics was too much or the BS got to the point that I didn't enjoy going to work, I switched jobs.
Yeah. So what advice would you give to someone new coming to Clark County? What are the benefits or what keeps you here?
I'm too old to go anyplace else.
Besides that.
I like the country. I like the country. You can step out and see into tomorrow. You can see the weather that's coming from a distance. I don't like being in crowded areas. I don't like towns. You can't see up and down the block. I can go. I went to a lot of conferences, conventions, and what have you all over the country. 3 days, 3 nights is a good convention. And then it's time to go home.
Yeah. So, anything else?
I don't know. Volunteer. Any community you go to, get involved. When I was in Roselle, I was in the Lions Club. Played donkey ball, both basketball and we did that down here too. When I was in Maxville, I was the vice president of the Chamber of Commerce. Get involved in the community.
Good. Anything else? Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Let me turn these off.